Blog Talk Radio.
Swing and a miss!
One more time to fight.
Watch it fly!
Do it again!
Hard knock home run!
Welcome to the Bless You Boys podcast for Sunday, March the 1st, 2015. I'm your host, Hookslide. Glad to have you along as we talk about the latest and the greatest in Detroit Tigers baseball for the next half hour or so. If you are a first-time listener, the Bless You Boys podcast is a feature of the Bless You Boys website. You can find us online at www.blessyouboys.com, on Twitter at Bless You Boys, and also on Facebook. Just search for Bless You Boys. Can you believe it's March? It finally happened. We finally got through the January and February thaw. Baseball is coming. Spring training has started. I think opening day is just about 35 days away, so we are into the home stretch here. And joining me in the virtual studio for today's episode is Joe Mantiply. And for those of you who, like me, live on the west side of the state, you will remember seeing Joe on the mound for the West Michigan Whitecaps last year, making batters look foolish on a regular basis. Joe is joining us today from Florida, where he is with the Detroit Tigers spring training squad. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm good. Good to be here.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, and big congratulations on getting that invite to spring training. So how are things going down there so far?
Things are good. You know, to start, it was a little nerve-wracking first, you know, a few days getting into a routine and, you know, kind of just getting back into the swing of things. And then, you know, being in Major League camp was a pretty big adjustment, you know, getting to know some of the guys and, you know, being in the clubhouse and seeing how things work. But last few days have been going, you know, a little smoother and starting to get the hang of how things work down here.
I mean, this has got to be the thrill for you. I mean, we were talking before we went live here just about when you found out you know, that you were getting the invite. You said that happened kind of earlier in the year. You knew just a little after the first of the year. Just walk me through that. You know, what was that like to get that phone call?
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a little idea. You know, they sent me to Arizona for the Fall League last year and kind of got a sense if I did well, you know, out there, then I could possibly get an invite to Major League camp. And, you know, I ended up throwing pretty well. And just waiting for the phone call was kind of the toughest part. But, yeah, I was sitting in my house, and Dave Owen called me and, you know, told me that, you know, I made the list for spring training. So it's pretty exciting. Definitely probably the biggest accomplishment in my, you know, career so far, obviously. So.
Sure, sure. Have you had a chance to do any kind of live throwing with batters yet?
Yeah, I've thrown, you know, we did threw a couple bullpens the first week and then threw two live BP sessions facing live hitters. And, you know, our first game tomorrow, exhibition game against Florida Southern. So
right.
I've thrown twice to live hitters, and I'm going to be pitching tomorrow against Florida Southern.
So just out of curiosity, who was in the batter's box for you the first time out?
First guy I faced in BP was, I think it was Jason Krzan, who's an outfielder. Okay. He was in Double-A last year, and then faced that first day I faced Brian Holiday and Dixon Machado and Jordan Leonardton, a couple other guys. And then second time was kind of the same thing, same group of guys. Faced Romine, Andrew Romine, and faced Jose Iglesias. So getting to face those guys is pretty cool.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, because I don't do this obviously myself, I work a desk job, you know, 9 to 5, 5 days a week. When you're out there throwing, you know, live batting practice, I mean, what the purpose of doing that is, you know, is what? I mean, obviously, I don't think you're there to try and strike these guys out necessarily, or is what's the kind of the goal there?
Well, yeah, I think it's just, to get pitchers in front of live hitters, because it's kind of been a while since, you know, most of the guys have seen, you know, live hitting. And then also it's for the hitters to see kind of live pitching. A lot of times, you know, first couple of times the guys get in there, they see, you know, a few pitches, 4 or 5 pitches, most of them don't really swing. And then through the throughout the outing, first time I threw 30 pitches straight, and then second time I threw 15, take a break, and then threw 15 more. And it's just kind of for everyone to kind of get a feel, pitchers facing live hitters, and the same for hitters facing live pitching.
Okay, that makes sense. It's sounds like a lot of fun, actually, and especially for, you know, those of us fans who have been kind of, you know, suffering through the baseball drought in the winter. It's good to hear that there's live pitching and live hitting happening anywhere. So it's very cool to hear that. Joe, I want to take you back, though. Let's wind the clock back. Back to when you got your start, and I'm talking, you know, did you start out in Little League? You know, was it later that you started playing baseball?
Yeah, I started, just like most kids, Little League. I played. We had Little League. I'm from kind of a small town, so we had Little League in the city, and then out in the county, we had another league too. And so I played both of those, and then, you know, I played all kinds of sports growing up, basketball, golf. I never really played football, but yeah, I mean, I just grew up playing sports and always kind of had a knack for, you know, baseball. It was always probably my best sport. So, grew up in Little League and then travel ball and all that stuff. So,
oh, so you did the travel ball thing. Okay. I know a lot of kids around here do that
ball.
Too, especially the, yes, definitely. The ones that are just a little bit better than the rest, I think, kind of go on to play travel ball. And that's at what point did you realize kind of that, you know, baseball was your thing and that was, you know, it was going to be more than just a habit, you know, to kind of kill time in the summer?
Well, coming up probably beginning of my high school career, my high school was kind of known for its baseball team. My eighth grade year, we had a guy named Will Inman, who's drafted in third round out of high school, and then another guy named Jacob Thompson, who went on to UVA and ended up being a fifth rounder with the Braves. And so baseball was just kind of the sport near us, the main sport. So coming up, I knew, you know, I was good at most sports, but I knew if I wanted to, you know, get a chance to go to college or play professionally, I need to focus on one. So baseball was kind of the one that came the most natural to me, so it was a pretty easy decision.
So definitely by high school, you were starting to kind of separate yourself, you know, from the pack, so to speak, and standing out is what you're saying.
Yes.
I'm curious, too, when you got kind of started out in high school, I mean, did you always want to be a pitcher, or, you know, was there a different position you were hoping to play? And if that's the case, how did kind of the transition to pitching happen?
Yeah, I was always a pitcher growing up, and I played outfield. I was a decent hitter, but when I got a chance to make the varsity team my freshman year, and I guess we had older guys on the team that, you know, the hitting position roles were kind of filled. So I tried out as a pitcher, and, you know, did well and made the team, and so just kind of stuck with it. Played outfield, you know, a little bit my junior and senior year when we kind of needed – the team kind of needed me to. But other than that, yeah, I just mainly focused on pitching.
You know, and I've always heard it said, too, that if you're a left-handed pitcher, you have a little bit of an in, you know, because baseball teams are always looking for good lefties. Have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you don't see – you know, you see more righties than lefties. It's definitely a more rare thing to, you know, see left-handed pitching. So, I just every day, you know, I thank the Lord that I was blessed to be left-handed, you know.
That's right. A thing that could be a bit of a hang-up in other areas. I know my daughter is left-handed, and she's always kind of complaining to me because, you know, the world is sort of set up for right-handers, you know, with the, you know, butter knives are just one of the basic, you know, items that she's always saying, Dad, I can't butter my bread the right way because I'm left-handed. So maybe I should tell her to get into pitching and see how things go. Jeff, tell us when you were growing up, who were some of your baseball heroes?
Let's see. Growing up, you know, my family and my whole area, really, we had the Atlanta Braves rookie ball team in our hometown. So everybody around us are Atlanta Braves fans. And, you know, I was left-handed, so I always idolized Tom Glavine. Hmm. And just any of those guys, really. But I'd say him mainly just because I felt like, you know, he was left-handed, I was left-handed. But I grew up watching Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, Greg Maddux. So I'd say all those guys, really, those Braves pitchers during that time were probably all my idols.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you got several to choose from if you're, you know, kind of an Atlanta fan, and not some bad role models, I think, to kind of pattern yourself after either.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, two of the three were 300 game winners, and Smoltz was one of the best closers / starters in the history of baseball. So
definitely. And as we were saying before the show started, you know, I got a chance to watch you pitch quite a few games last year for the West Michigan Whitecaps. And I've always kind of wondered, you know, very much enjoyed those games, but I've always wondered, you know, what is life like in the minor leagues? So start maybe by talking about, you know, what are some of the challenges that you face so far, you know, making your way up to the big leagues?
I mean, I'd say one of the main challenges is just, you know, being in the right spot at the right time. You know, there's a lot of things guys in the minor leagues can't control. You know, there's five different farm teams with tons of great players, and you're playing other farm teams with tons of great players, and, you know, you're getting in front of all these people, and it's kind of hard for, you know, the guys that make decisions to get around to see everybody. And so I'd say one of the biggest challenges is just, you know, being in the right place at the right time. Luckily, you know, West Michigan's really close to Detroit, so our, you know, big decision makers and front office guys, it was a quick trip for them to come down if they wanted to see somebody in West Michigan. And so I think that worked out well, being in West Michigan. And then, you know, ultimately just being with Detroit, I think, you know, I got with a great organization for my personal gain at the right time with, you know, people looking for lefties and all that stuff. So I think those are probably the main things for guys in the minors.
Sure, and it helps, like you said, to be not only a left-handed pitcher, but to feature kind of some of the stuff that you're featuring, you know, in your repertoire. Talk a little bit about, you know, what are some of the pitches that you're throwing right now?
I throw a two-seam and four-seam fastball. My two-seam is kind of like a sinker, and then I throw a changeup and a slider. And, you know, luckily, you know, I don't have overpowering stuff, but all my stuff does, you know, different stuff, and I can command it pretty well, you know, inside the strike zone. So I think that helps out a lot. I mean, once you get, you know, up to the higher levels, you got to be able to throw strikes. That's the main goal. I mean, you can throw as hard as you want, but if you don't throw strikes, you know, guys aren't going to swing at it. So, being able to command the strike zone is probably one of my biggest attributes with all my pitches.
Yes, I would absolutely agree. Having seen, you know, what you were doing to batters, I saw a lot of swings and misses. There seems to be quite a bit of, you know, accuracy on your part in terms of being able to trick batters, fool batters, you know, some deception. I know the one pitch you're throwing, I think it might be the two-seamer. I could be wrong. I'm terrible at pitch identification, but you've got the one pitch that, you know, coming out of your left hand breaks actually toward the first base side at the last minute. And I saw a lot of batters, you know, kind of go lunging for that. How much of this mentally, Joe, when you're kind of going through pitches and want to get the swings and misses, how much of it is sequencing and, you know, how much of it is just location?
Well, I think it's pretty much a combination of both, really. I don't try to do anything too, you know, I don't try to trick guys too much. You know, I kind of stay pretty straightforward. And I'm the type of pitcher that early in the count, I'm always trying to get, you know, I'm trying to get an out on the first couple pitches. You know, I don't try to strike people out. And then if, you know, I'm fortunate enough to get to 0-2 or 1-2 counts where I'm ahead, then that's when I'll go for the strikeout. But, it's sequencing. It's mainly just trying to get ahead and, you know, throw strikes, attacking hitters and, you know, trying to get that weak contact.
Exactly. And I was going to ask, too, you know, you mentioned the different pitches that you're featuring right now. Were those pitches that you sort of had, you know, coming up through high school? Or, you know, do you have to kind of learn something along the way? And how do you go about doing that?
I threw all the same pitches in high school. And I would say that, you know, just over the years and, you know, going through college, I think my stuff every year got better. And just working on the same stuff. Eventually, you know, last year, really, my stuff really kind of took a bit of a jump and got even better than the year before. And I think that, you know, that consistency of throwing the same stuff for so long, eventually, you know, you get a good feel for what you're doing. And then your confidence level grows and then, you know, you have success eventually.
Mm. Now talk a little bit about some of the pitching coaches that you've worked with. I'm assuming you got a chance to work with Mike Heneman last year with the Whitecaps. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe just talk a little bit about kind of the role of a pitching coach in helping you get better at what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. Mike Henny, as we call him, he was one of the biggest things last year that helped me out. He didn't so much, you know, isn't so much of a hands-on guy, which telling you, you know, your arm needs to be up or, you know, mechanically he doesn't tweak you much, but he was big on kind of the mental aspect of the game. And when you're on the mound, like being confident and knowing that you're better than the hitter. And, you know, if you have a bad outing the next day, you know, as soon as you walk off the field that night, you know, that day's over, there's nothing you can do about it. So, he helped me a lot with that whole thing and being able to come back after, you know, maybe a rough outing. And then even after a good outing, you know, that's in the past as well. So you gotta build on your good outings as well as your bad. So he was, you know, ultimately like one of the biggest inspirations for me last year. I think he helped me out tremendously. And then even when I got to Erie, Jaime Garcia, the guy that's the pitching coach in Erie, was great with that stuff too. You know, he was more of a numbers guy and stuff like that. So he had kind of a different aspect to the same role, I guess. But both of those guys were great. And then the two guys I worked with in Arizona, they each brought a different kind of feel. So being able to work and get different opinions all the time is something that I really like.
And when you talk about him being a numbers guy, what do you mean by that?
Just kind of stats-wise about how, you know, hitters that, you know, you throw strike 1-2, the chances, percentages that, you know, those guys get out, or guys that you get behind, you know, first two pitches, percentages of those guys getting on base, and just going into kind of little stats that, you know, people don't really see. Little stuff like that was kind of his thing.
Oh, that's very interesting because, I mean, certainly our audience, you know, here at Bless You Boys is very much kind of an advanced metrics, you know, oriented, you know, reading audience. We're very, very big into the stats and sabermetrics and that sort of thing. And I've always kind of wondered, you know, from a player's standpoint, how much do those numbers really, you know, help your performance or play into it at all?
Oh, yeah, they definitely give you something to think about. You know, I don't try to think too much about that stuff when I'm on the mound. I try to keep kind of a clear head while I'm pitching and more focused on, you know, my job. But, you know, after the games and the next few days leading up to my next outing, I like to look at that kind of stuff and, you know, see, you know, which guys I got ahead of and, you know, what they did and guys that I got behind, you know, what they did. So stuff like that is really cool for me too as well. And I think it's a great tool, especially nowadays with all the stats and technology and stuff. It's pretty easy to keep up with.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a wealth of information now, more so than there ever has been. But I get what you're saying. Of, you know, I don't suppose you want to be doing long division, you know, on the pitcher's mound, but to be able to maybe to go back to some of the numbers after the fact and kind of look for patterns and trends. Is it hard to kind of keep track of all of that?
Not really. You know, we have the resources to where we can keep up with it pretty easy. Baseball is a lot of numbers, so you know we got numbers guys all over the place.
Sure.
So yeah, it's pretty easy for us to get a hold of those stats.
Yeah, and I guess I meant more from a personal standpoint. You know, to keep track of specifics, to say, okay, well, I remember this batter in particular. You know, can't hit the curveball or swings, you know, at fastballs 20% of the time in a 2-0 count. Is it sort of hard to keep track of those specifics, or is that not the level that you necessarily go to?
Oh, yeah, that too, yeah, especially when, you know, you go into a place where, you know, towards the end of the season, you need that information when you're facing guys, you know, multiple times and, you know, they've seen you multiple times. So you can kind of give them something, you know, a new look, and then, or if what you've been doing is working, then you can stick to that plan. But, yeah, that stuff definitely helps going throughout the season.
And I've always been curious too, Joe, is you know, in terms of keeping track of batter patterns and, you know, that sort of thing, how much of that is on the catcher to remember that and kind of give you the proper sequencing, and how much of that is on you as the pitcher to remember, you know, what this guy did last time?
I think it's kind of on both people, both parties involved. I think, you know, a lot of catchers do that on their own. It's kind of crazy how some of these catchers, the information they know, because they know a lot of them, you know, remember more than the pitchers do, because they have to know everything that's going on in the game, really. But, I mean, both the catchers I had last year, Bennett Picard was awesome.
Yeah.
He remembered what every pitcher did with almost each hitter and each team and their approach. So I think catchers, you know, take that upon their own, and you know, they, a lot of them, you know, they like to do that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's,
are you still there, Joe?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Sorry, I thought I lost you for half a second there.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, it's certainly you know, probably understating it then to say that having a good, you know, a relationship with your catcher is kind of can be a big difference in, you know, a winning game or not so great outing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those catchers are the guys that control the game. So you always want to be on the same page as your catcher. And, you know, I like to kind of let the catchers kind of take over. And I don't really like to get off of, you know, what their plan is. So I don't shake too much unless I really feel I need to, because I like to put my trust in the catcher and, you know that, you know, what they're putting down, that's what they think is the right pitch at that moment.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So tell me, Joe, what have been some of the happier highlights of kind of coming up through the minor leagues and going through West Michigan and on into Erie?
I'd say, you know, West Michigan was awesome. It was an awesome summer last year. The fans up there were unbelievable. I mean, we were packing out games. We were winning a lot too, and you know, that was fun. The guys I've met, players I've played with, that, you know, from all over the world and all over the country, we had an awesome group of guys in West Michigan. And even, you know, when I went up to Erie, you know, meshed really well as soon as I came in the clubhouse. Managers I've played for, Andrew Graham, Lance Parrish. So it's been a lot of fun. Been pretty short so far. You know, I was drafted in 2013, so I've been moving pretty quickly, but, you know, I've met a ton of great people and, you know, came across a lot of baseball knowledge my time here.
Yeah, I would agree there, Joe. You've certainly kind of been taking the fast track. I wonder sometimes if you have to kind of stop and just kind of catch your breath and say, you know, how do you put it all in focus? Tell us a little bit about what the average day in the life, you know, is for a minor league player. What's that look like?
Well, during the season, you know, go to the field. We usually get. Last year, we would get to the field around, you know, 2 or 3. And you're at the field all day, but we do, you know, we go out and do our stuff earlier in the day. We stretch and throw and do our running. And if you have to work out, you do it in the morning. And then you just kind of hang around the field until game time. And that's when, you know, the fun stuff starts. Then, you know, the games usually let out. If you have a night game, it's usually you let out pretty late. So grab some food after the game and go home and get some sleep and then wake up and do it all over again.
Wow. I'm struggling to kind of wrap my mind around that. What is that like to get to, you know, get paid to play baseball and work out and do that fun stuff? It sounds like a ton of fun. I wanted to kind of move on to just some kind of general questions for you about, you know, now that you're kind of making strides and coming up, you know, you're at spring training with the Tigers. Let's talk a little bit about, let's say, who is the one major league batter that you hope to face someday?
The one batter I hope to face someday. I mean, I would love to face, I know he's on the same team, but I would love to one day face, you know, Miguel Cabrera. I think he's one of the best hitters, you know, ever, obviously. But he's a great guy, you know, being around him in the clubhouse and stuff. He's full of energy. And, yeah, I'd love to say maybe I got him out, or if he, you know, hit a home run off me, I'd be able to say that too. So kind of a win-win.
So do you think at some point maybe you can arrange that, even if, I mean, like you said, you're on the same team, but, you know, is that a kind of thing where you can say, hey, Miggy, I really want to do this, you know, before a game, can we just get out there and, you know, I'm going to show you my best stuff and see how you do?
Yeah, maybe like a inner squad or a live VP one day, that might be able to work. But, I mean, I don't think I'm going to push for it, but if I got to, I think that would be probably one of the biggest thrills.
I think that would be a ton of fun. If that ever does happen, you have to make sure to get, you know, get it on video and all that fun stuff, because that would be a fun thing to watch. And, you know, and while we're on the topic, just, I mean, because like you said, you're just getting there and kind of getting to know some of the guys. Maybe talk a little bit about some of the relationships maybe that you're developing here.
Yeah, I met, you know, a bunch of guys. I've met Justin Verlander, Joe Nathan, Jabba Chamberlain. They're all great guys, you know, and they have a ton of experience between those three, you know, among others, but, and they have a ton of knowledge, you know, they've been through it. They've been in the same situation that I'm in, and, just kind of being around these guys and, you know, being able to pick their brain whenever you can. And they, I think, kind of realize that you're trying to do that too, you know? So yeah, they're great. Everybody's been, you know, unbelievable, kind of showing how things work and showing people the ropes. So.
Sure. And has there been any one person or, you know, so that, if you're comfortable talking about it, that's sort of, you know, come alongside you as a bit of a mentor yet?
Not yet. You know, I haven't had anybody kind of pull me off to the side. You know, we've only been down here for a few weeks, but, yeah, I mean, I think maybe once we start games and that kind of more so will kind of happen. So we'll see. I haven't got the chance to be like one-on-one with any of them yet, but we'll see if that
sure,
comes
like
in the future.
Said, yeah, like you said, it's still early yet. You know, and you're sort of in the first weeks. And like I said, the first game is tomorrow, isn't that right?
Yeah.
So you guys haven't even had a chance to really kind of play any full games yet. So it's still early in the process. Going back to this kind of, you know, hopes and dreams kind of thing, who is the one major league player that you kind of most hope to play along, you know, play along with someday, even if it's just like in an all-star game?
Shoot, I don't know. I'd say, you know, a few of them are on this team. Miguel Cabrera, obviously, David Price, Justin Verlander, you know, those names kind of say it all. For me, those are kind of the biggest names, at least since I've been coming up in high school and college. So, you know, being along those alongside those guys and being in the clubhouse with those guys is it's pretty special to me.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. Even I was asking the question, you know, who, that some of the stars you want to play alongside, and I'm thinking, yeah, there's an awful lot of them right there in the clubhouse. So maybe you kind of get it all, you know, just sort of right there. And then just to kind of wrap things up, I was curious. I think I had read somewhere that you were a bit into agriculture. I think I read that in an interview recently, and so I was curious to know if you weren't pursuing baseball as a career, what do you think you would be doing?
I don't really know. I've never really thought too much into that, but I like being outside. I would like to, you know, I'm from kind of a small town, kind of out in the country-ish, kind of. So, if I was able to do something, I don't think I'd do very well sitting behind a desk all day. So I'd like to pursue some kind of career and where I'm moving around. And
excellent, excellent. So to wrap up, tell me the story, Joe, behind the Twitter handle, because I like to tell folks, you know, on the show whenever our guests come on, they, you know, where they can find you online. And I know you're on Twitter at The Real Theseus. Is that right?
It's Theseus.
Theseus. So what's the story behind Theseus? That's one of the Greek gods, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he was Zeus's son. He was mortal. He wasn't, you know, he was a mortal figure. But he was supposedly the son of Zeus. But, yeah, I started my Twitter actually after there's a movie called Immortals, and it's kind of about the life of Theseus and how he, you know, kind of saved the his people from the Titans, And the next day, it was kind of when Twitter was starting to blow up, so I was trying to figure out a Twitter name, and I just watched that movie, and it was kind of a joke between me and, you know, one of my teammates in college. And so I just came up with The Real Theseus.
I love it. I love it. I was kind of curious behind the stories behind these names. When I saw that one, I thought, that's interesting. I mean, I know a little bit about, you know, Greek mythology and so forth, but very interesting. So, Joe, I want to thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking the time out, and, you know, absolutely best of luck with the squad, and hope to see you in Detroit.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. All right. So that's Joe Mantiply with us on the Bless You Boys podcast. You can find him on Twitter at The Real Theseus. It's Theseus. And a lot of fun there. Sounds like some good things going on in spring training. And that is going to wrap it up and do it for us on another episode of the Bless You Boys podcast. We will see you again in the weeks to come as we continue this march forward towards opening day, which is just 35 days away. So hard to believe, isn't it? So until next time, this is Hook Slide signing off, and we'll see you next time on the Bless You Boys podcast.
There's never been a corner like Michigan and Trumbull.
That'll get him out of the old ballpark.